We've been discussing the question whether or not, last time, we discussed the question whether shechita is a mitzvah or not. Whether it's, number one, should it be counted in the minyan tayag, in the 613 mitzvahs? That's a debate in its own right. The Rambam, of course, counts it, and the Bahag, Bahalachas Gedolos, counts shechita in the context of kachim, but does not count it as shechitas kulin. The Ravid, in his Hasagos on the Rambam wrote what's called the Minyan HaKotzar, the short version of Minyan HaMitzvos in the beginning of Yad HaChazaka, and when he counts the Mitzvah Shechita, Mitzvah Kuf Mem Vav, 146, so the Ravid says he thinks that that's a mistake, that it really shouldn't be counted at all. And we discussed this last week, where we tried to explain was that there are different views as to how to look at Shechita. Is Shechita Matir? Is it the necessary action to allow for Achilas Basar, or is it more than that? Is it really an Isra Seh? Does it add gravity and weight to the prohibition to the Isra to eat Nevela? Or is it even more than that? It constitutes a Kiyum Aseh, namely when you do an act of Shechita, you fulfill a mitzvah. Maybe even more than that, I was suggesting that according to the Rambam, the fact that you need Shechita in order to eat Basar, that in itself is a Kiyum HaMitzvah, because it underscores that Achilas Basar can turn into, and therefore requires the sanction of, a Davar Shebekdusha. And the fact that my theory has been that the Shechita that we learned from Kodshim is essentially a requirement of Shechita Schulin is consistent with that idea. So in connection with that, towards the end, we were discussing the impact that this has on Brachos. I just want to finish discussing one aspect of that for a couple of minutes, and then we'll go back to the beginning of the Masechta and start moving straight. What we explained was that the Rambam, if you look here on page 1, okay, we have now a set of 6, which is overlapping from the previous Mar Makomos, but we're better organized. So on page 1, if you look at the Rambam, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, or actually look at the first one first. The first one is Mitzvah Seh Sheyishkot Mishi Yirtzeh Lechol Basar. There's a Mitzvah Seh, a positive commandment, that if you want to eat meat, you should do it with a Shechita. And then if you look at Halacha Beis, Hilchos Shechita B'Kula Nachas Hein, all of Hilchos Shechita is one, probably meaning what was spoken of in the previous Halacha, which is Behema, Chaya, and Oaf. Whether it's a domesticated animal, a wild animal, or a bird, you require shechita. It's the same general idea. And then the Rambam says, Lefikach, therefore, Hashochet behema, o chaya, o oaf, if you shech the behema, chaya, or an oaf, mevarech tchila asher kedishanu, v'mitzosa v'tzivanu, al hashechita. V'im lo birech, bein b'shogeh, bein b'nezid, habasar mutar. So the Rambam says, because of what? Because Lefikach, because. So there are two ways to read the because. One way, the way the Kesef Mishnah read it was, it goes on the words, Hilchos Shechita B'Kula Nachasein, meaning, all of Hilchos Shechita, even though it applies to different animals, Behema, Chai, and Oaf, but it's all one idea. Lefikach, therefore, when you make the bracha on Shechita, you don't specify the type of animal. You don't say, Asher Kedishanu V'Tosef V'Tivanu, Al Shechitas Oaf, Al Shechitas Behema, Al Shechitas Chai. That's how the Kesef Mishnah reads Lefikach. The Fikach goes on the words, Hilchos Shechita B'Kulan Achaseh. However, the Lechem Mishnah reads it differently. Lechem Mishnah says the words Lefikach go on the original statement in Halacha Aleph. Mitzvah Aseh Sheyishchot Mishi Yirtzeh Lechol Basar, Behema Chaya B'Ov, and then skip. Lefikach, therefore, you have to make a bracha. That's the way that the Lechem Mishnah reads the Rambam. There's even a girsa in some of the manuscripts of the Rambam, if you look in the Frankel Rambam, so he has in the Shinui and Nuschaos, that puts the words Hilchos Shechita B'Kula Nachasein instead of the first words of Halacha Beis, the last words of Halacha Aleph, which according to the Lechemishnah's reading would actually be a preferred way to structure the Rambam. So basically, why is the Rambam what I call drum rolling with the word lefikach, lefikach, therefore, you make a bracha? I mean, what's the big chiddush that there's a bracha? But the answer is as follows. Do you make a bracha for every single mitzvah out there, or does it depend on the type of mitzvah? This is a question that the Rishonim discussed. When you give tzedakah, do you make a bracha? Right? Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't when it comes to mitzvahs. What are the rules? So there are several rules that are projected by the Rishonim. Some distinguish between Ben Adam Lamakom and Ben Adam Lachavero. Others distinguish between a mitzvah which is in your hands, which you control. In other words, the outcome is something that is in you can determine, as opposed to, let's say, something that is totally v'das acherim, for example, getting married, right? The Ravid felt that the bracha that you make in the context of erusin, of getting married, the Ravid felt that it should be made after the kiddushin. Because let's say the husband's going to go under the chuppah and he's going to make the bracha and pop the question, as it were, and then almost wife says no, right? It's davar sheino talui bo, it's tali v'das acherim. So then you're going to end up with a bracha levatala. Some people explain that that's bircha samila. Let's say you make the bracha, and then the shochet is going to do the mochet. Very good. See? Subliminal. Might there be a problem? Let's say he's queasy, okay, because he thinks of it as shchita, not as mila. So, again, you might have a situation of bracha in a situation where the maisa is tali b'das acherim. So there are all sorts of rules when we do and when we don't make a bracha. So Rav Yosef Ibn Palat, one of the early Rishonim who dealt with this question, suggests that there is an important rule that explains many of the cases, in addition to the two that I mentioned. And that is, whenever we deal with an Isur Aseh, rather than a Kiyum Aseh, in other words, a mitzvah that is really a way of reinforcing the Aveira, as opposed to the fulfillment of an actual mitzvah, whenever we're dealing with that, we don't make a bracha. Because you don't make a bracha on negative things. It's really just like you don't make a bracha on any lav. You're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. You don't make a bracha. Right? So Rav Yosef Ibn Palat raised the question. He said, the only thing that bothers me is shchita. How can we make a bracha on shchita? After all, isn't shchita just a way of reinforcing the Isur Nevela? So by making a bracha on shchita, it's like making a bracha on the Isur of Nevela. And that's against the rule. We don't make negative brachos. Right? Positive campaigning and positive brachos. That's Rav Yosef Ibn Palat's rule. So what's going on? So actually, I'll share with you Rav Yosef Ibn Palat's answer before I get back to the Rambam, but Rav Yosef Ibn Palat's answer is as follows. He says, in the Midbar, before Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, I've probably mentioned this very quickly in the past, so I'll just mention it again quickly, there's a debate whether or not Klal Yisrael was allowed to eat meat without being kodshim in the Midbar. The view of Rabbi Akiva, this is the Gemara later on, it says Zayin Amud Beis, Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, if you want to just look at it very quickly, those of you who have the Gemara. Gemara says as follows. You see on the bottom of Tezayin Amud Beis, page 32 on the top of the page, Tezayin Amud Beis on the bottom. It's a very, very important Gemara, but we're not going to do the whole topic now because it's just take us too long. But the Gemara says, referring to the Mishnah, Hakol Shochtim, Uli Olam Shochtim, everybody can Shecht, and you always Shecht. So the Gemara says, Hakol Shochtim, Hakol B'Shechita, Hakilo Oth. Uli Olam Shochtim, what does that mean? Mantana, Amarab Rabbi Shmuel. This all refers to Rabbi Shmuel. Who's Rabbi Shmuel? We already saw it in Rashi in Perush al Torah. Ki Yarchiv Hashem Elokechos Gevulcha Kasher Diberlach. The pasuk says in Re'eh, when the Rabbanu Shalom is going to widen your area of living, your boundaries, right? That's when you're going to be Nichnas to Eretz Yisrael. Yamarta, you will say Ochla Basar V'Gomer. So that's when we're told that you should do V'Zavachta, you should do Shechita. So Rabbi Shmuel says the following. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Lo Ba Kosuv El Lahatir Basar Taiva. This pasuk is teaching you that in the Midbar they were not allowed to eat meat unless it was shlavim, unless it was in the context of a karban. Shebetchila nesalem basa taiva. Misha nechasu la'aretz, hutalem basa taiva. Once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, that's when meat in the outside of the context of karbanos became permissible. That's the view of Rabbi Yishma. A fascinating view. I think I mentioned in the past, it's one of the rare dinim, whether it's Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, at Matan Torah the halacha was given. And generally, all the halachos began at that moment. Shechita is an exception to that rule, in either direction. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the heter of Shechita Skulin was delayed until Knesa L'Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Now skip a little bit, because I wanted to save a little time. Rabbi Akiva has a different view. El Amar Rabbi Yosef, top of the next page of Yudzayin Amud Aleph, Rabbi Akiva, Netanya, ki yirchak mincha makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha lasum shemo sham. It's actually very fascinating. There are two psukim in Rei. One is ki yarchiv Hashem gvulcha, and the very next pasuk, we read this psukim before, is ki yirchak mincha makom. They're talking about the same general parsha. For an interesting reason, Rabbi Yishmael learns his version of events from the first pasuk, ki yarchiv Hashem gvulcha. Rabbi Akiva learns it from the second. When you are distant from the equivalent of the Mishkan, namely the Beis HaMikdash, because not everybody lives in Yerushalayim near the Beis HaMikdash, then you'll be able to do zvicha, shechting of animals, basar taiv. What does Rabbi Akiva have in mind? Rabbi Akiva Amar Lo Ba Kosev Ela Lasar Lehen Basar Mechira. Shebetchila Hutalehen Basar Mechira. Rabbi Akiva was exactly the opposite of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva said, in the Midbar, they were allowed to eat meat even outside of Karbanos. Not only that, they didn't have to do Shechita, they could do Nechira. We're not sure exactly what Nechira means. Probably Nechira means cutting the Simanim, but, you know, in a different way, not according to the strict laws of Shechita. For our purposes, the point is, there wasn't the higher requirements, more rigorous standard of Shechita. According to Rabbi Akiva, in the Midbar after Matan Torah, you were allowed to eat Basar Mechira. And the Gemara says, however, how could that be? After all, the Torah says, Hatzon v'bakar yishachet lahem. The Gemara has all sorts of questions. And earlier the Gemara says, it says, V'shachat is ben abakar. According to Rabbi Akiva, it shouldn't say V'shachat. It should say V'nachar is ben abakar. So the Gemara says, if you go a few lines down, V'maikam b'flagir, Rabbi Akiva, son of Basa Taiva, lo itzar klal. Rabbi Yishmael, savar, Basa Nechira. Does everybody have this? It's about 9 or 10 lines down. Or starts like 8 lines down. Right, they have two opposite views. They both agree that in the Midbar, prior to Matan Torah, the rules of Matan Torah didn't apply. Rabbi Yishmael said, L'chumra, they could only eat kachim. Rabbi Akiva said, L'kula, they were even allowed to eat basar l'chira. So the Gemara says, Dishlam, Rabbi Yishmael, Haina Dutsiv, Shachar, Ben Abakar. El Rabbi Akiva, by the shachat, what does the words of shachat in the Midbar mean according to Rabbi Akiva if Nechira works? So the Gemara says, Kadshim Shayim. Even Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that only Shechita would work for Kadshim. Even though Nechira works for Basar Taiva, Shechita alone can be Machshir Kadshim. So this is what Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat said. What was the question? How can we make a bracha on Shechita? After all, Shechita is an Isra Aseh just to tell you that you can't eat Nevela, right? So Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat says, the answer is, if we hold like Rabbi Akiva. So according to Rabbi Akiva, in the Midbar, they allowed them to eat without Shechita, just all day in the Chira. And yet, there was a bracha when they did Shechita's Kodshim. Right? So in the Midbar, Shechita was not associated with the removal, only with the removal of the Isra Nevela. Because you could do Nechira to get rid of Nevela. You only needed to do Shechita for the sake of Kadshim. In other words, in the Midbar, Shechita was a mitzvah, it wasn't Hafkas Nevela. And therefore, the bracha that we make from on Shechita right now, to this day, is a holdover of the bracha that they made in the Midbar. That's the Joseph Ibn Palat. One second. So then he says, that sounds like a good answer, except, does that really make sense? Meaning in the Midbar, we understand why they make a bracha on the Shechita, because in the Midbar, it was about a mitzvah of Shechita, not about removing the Iser of Nevela. But nowadays, where the only way to remove the Iser Nevela is through Shechita, we're back to square one, aren't we? And that's how he leaves off. But what's the answer? The answer is, it depends how you look at the history. What I mean by that is as follows. What happened in the Midbar was an interesting, point of development, or what happened in the Midbar teaches us about the nature and the relationships of Nevela and Shechita. One way to look at it is, we see from Rabbi Akiva that the concept of Nevela and the Avoda of Shechita are really two different aspects. They're two different dinim. Shechita is a kiyum, Nevela is removal of an Issa. Now when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, what happened? So one could say, they changed the rules, they took Shechita away from Kadshim, and they made it the equivalent of Nechira on the Midbar, the mechanism of removing Nevela. So what happened in the Midbar was a total change in strategy, in that instead of Shechita Lechud, Nevela Lechud, they now said Shechita is only important to remove Nevela. If that's the case, then we're back to square one. How can you make a bracha on Shechita? Shechita is just the removal of the Yisra of Nevela. But you don't have to learn it that way, according to Rabbi Akiva. You could learn another way. What really happened was the following. In the Midbar, they separated Mitzvah Shechita and Yisra Nevela. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, what they said was, from now on, our standards for Basar Taiva are so high that we insist that the Shechita that we required in the Midbar for Kadshim, we now require that for Basar Taiva in Eretz Yisrael. Basar Taiva in Eretz Yisrael has the same standards as Kadshim in the Midbar. Of course, Mimela, if you ignore that requirement, it ends up also being Nevela. But then Shechita doesn't come to be Metake Nevela. We expanded Nevela as a result of our higher standard and requirement and ambition for Shechita. So what we're really saying is that Shechita in Eretz Yisrael, Shechita b'zman hazeh, is a way, is borrowed from Kadshim, and therefore it's a kiyum mitzvah. And if it's a kiyum mitzvah, then it gets a bracha. That would be the way to answer Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat.
Where is this Rabbi Yosef Ibn
Palat? It's quoted in several places. One is in the Abu Dram. The Abu Dram, of course, is a parish on the Siddur. But the Abu Dram also discusses brachos. He has a shar in the Abu Dram, which he discusses birchas mitzvah. And when he discusses Shechita, he quotes this. It's also quoted in the Sefer Itur. Baal Itur. I think in Hilchos Tzitzis, if I remember. I'm pretty sure it's in Hilchos Tzitzis. So basically, what we have here is a very important issue. Now let's get back to the Rambam. The Rambam says, Shechita is a mitzvah. And then the Rambam says, Lefikach, therefore you make a bracha. So the Prima Gadim, in his parish on Yoridea, Siman Aleph, says something similar about the Levush. He says, you know why there's the equivalent of Lefikach? For exactly this problem. He doesn't quote Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat, I don't know if he was aware of it. He says, one might have thought that even though there's a mitzvah of Shechita, it's really an Isra Aseh. It's about removing the Nevela. You don't make a bracha on a negative. What the Rambam is telling us, and what the Levush is telling us, is mitzvahs Shechita. It's a kiyum aseh. And if it's a kiyum aseh, lefikach, therefore, you make a bracha. That's what the Rambam, by the word lefikach, is telling you, is don't get into the trap of what we thought in Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat, that Shechita is just hafkas Nevela. On the contrary, it's a kiyum b'fnei atzmo, maybe the Vela is redefined because of this chiyuv to do Hechsher Basar B'derech Mitzvah B'derech Shechita. The truth is, it's very fascinating. If you look at it's one more point, the Rambam read this Gemara in Chulin, Zayin Ud Beis, Zayin Ben Aleph, in a totally different way. I'm not going to, again, go through the whole how I think you read the Gemara, because that'll take too long, but just look very, very quickly. Perek Dalid, Halacha Yud Zayin and Yud Ches, in the Rambam, page 1. The Rambam says the following. Everybody have it? Page 1? Kishahayu Yisrael Bamidbar, when Klal Yisrael were in the desert, Lo Nitzavu B'Shechitas Achulin, they were not commanded, they were not allowed Shechitas Achulin, Elayu Nochrin, Oshochtin V'Ochlin, Kishara Umos. The Nitzavu Bamidbar, while they were in the Midbar, meeting at Har Sinai, they got the command that said, Kol Arotza Lishchot, Lo Yishchot El Shlamin. Whoever wants to do Shechita, it has to be Kadshim. Now, if you stop right here, who does the Rambam Paskin like? Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Shmuel. Because Rabbi Shmuel said, you cannot eat Basar Taiva, you can't do Shechitas Basar Taiva, Bamidbar. Sounds like the Rambam Paskin is like Rabbi Shmuel, right? However, nothing's easy with the Rambam, so let's continue. Shenemar, Ishish Mideis Yisrael Asher Yishkat Shor, etc. El Pesach Omoid Loibiyo, Laman Asher Yaviyo, Vizivchu Zivke Shlamim Hashem, etc. Then he adds, Aval, harotze linchar v'lechol b'midbar? If you're not interested in shechita, but you're willing to go the route of mechira in the midbar, hayinocher, you could do that. He doesn't say anything about bracha one way or another. Presumably, according to my analysis, it would be without a bracha. But here he doesn't mention bracha one way or another, but I agree with you. U'mitzvah zu, let's continue one more halacha. Now you have to understand something. Halacha Yud Zayin and Yud Ches is the end of Perek Dalet Hukh Shechita. Why is that important? Perek Dalet Hukh Shechita, the end of Perek Dalet Hukh Shechita is really the end of Hukh Shechita. The continuation of Hukh Shechita, which goes on for many more prakim, is no longer about Shechita. It's about Trefa and other things. So effectively, we have read the first four halachos of the Rambam, Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet of Perek Aleph, I mean the Rambam's treatment of Shechita initially, and now we're reading the Rambam's final word, okay, the climax of the Rambam's treatment of Hilchos Shechita. And it's fascinating that he comes back in the end to the history, and I think for good reasons, I'll explain, and you'll see the language, he keeps saying Nitzavu, part of the mitzvah. So listen to the final halakha. U'mitzvah zu, eina noheges ledoros, ela b'midbar b'vad. This mitzvah of Shechita Lishlamim, side by side with Nechira, right, for Basa Taiva, is only in the Midbar. The Esetra Nechira. V'nitztavu sham, the commandment was given there in Har Sinai, Matan Torah, Shekeshi Kansu La'aretz Te'asar HaNechira, Nechira will be excluded, V'lo Yeochlu Chulin Ela D'Shechita, two things happen when they enter Eretz Yisrael, right? Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva both get neutralized. No more nechira, but shechita even for chulin. V'yishchatu b'kol makom li'olam chutz la'azara. You can shech wherever you want. Shenemar ki yarchav Hashem alokecha es gevulcha. V'zavachtim ibkarecha mitzonecha shenasan Hashem alokecha. And then he adds, v'zui ha-mitzvah ha-noheges l'doros lishchot v'achar kach yochal. This is the mitzvah l'doros of lishchot v'achar kach yochal. What a strange language. The mitzvah of lishchot v'achar kach yochal. Look at Halacha Aleph again, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. That's exactly the language of the Rambam. Mitzvah Sasei Sheyishchot Mishiyirtza Lechol V'Achar Kach Yochal. It's almost like it's in quotations, but you have to, you know, we have it on the same page, so it's staring up at us, but it's not so simple otherwise. Meaning, what is the Rambam saying? Essentially, the Rambam is saying, I'm about to wrap up. I'm going to give you a little bit of historical perspective to drive home the issue that I began with so you'll understand it fully. Namely, the mitzvah of Lishkot V'achar Kach Yochal developed, it was already anticipated, meaning it was formulated at Har Sinai. It was delayed during the sojourn in the Midbar, and it was implemented finally in Knesset Eretz Yisrael. And what is it? It is the elimination of Nechira and the expansion of Shechita at the same time. But who does the Paran Paskin like? Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva? So the answer is he really Paskins like Rabbi Akiva. But he has a new wrinkle on Rabbi Akiva. If you look at the Gemara, it's very hard to read in the Gemara. Because the Gemara here says, B'mai kamiflagi. Again, this is 3-6, I'm still on Yud Zayin of an hour. 3-6, 9 lines down. From the top, Gemara says, B'mai kamiflagi, what do they argue about? Rabbi Akiva saver basa taiva lo itzar klal. Rabbi Akiva says there was no Isra of basa taiva. Rabbi Shmuel saver basa nechira lo ishtari klal. Each one is rejecting the extreme upon which the other shita is based. Rabbi Akiva is saying there's no such thing, there never was such a thing as Issa Basa Taiva. Rabbi Shmuel is saying there was never a Heter Basa Nechira. But what about the Rambam? The Rambam is combining both. How can the Rambam be against the Gemara? So I think two things happen here. One I'm not going to explain, I'm just going to say it. I think the Rambam, as he read the Shakla Vitari of the Gemara, felt that the Gemara itself implicitly changed its mind when it narrowed the gap on several issues between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. I'll give you just one example. Rabbi Shmuel says you can't eat Pasa Taiva. But the Pasuk says you can eat Tzviva Ayal, you can eat a Chaya in the Midbar, even though it can't be a Chaya can never be a Karba. So the Gemara was originally bothered by that. The Gemara says here, on Yud Zayin, according to Rabbi Shmuel, how can they eat Chaya and Tzvi? Katzviva Kayal. So the Gemara says, the answer is as follows. Rabbi Shmuel only prohibited, thought that there was a prohibition of eating basar taiva when it's possible to bring it as a karban. When you can't bring it as a karban, like tzviva ayol, that's a different story. Then you can eat it. I think that havamina maskana is pivotal to the Rambam's rereading of this Gemara. Rambam felt originally, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are two opposite views. As the Gemara is going along, they're bridging the gap in what way? They're now explaining to us something very crucial. And in addition to the change in the Gemara, the other thing I want to point out is the language of the Gemara. How did the Gemara originally formulate Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Akiva saver basa taiva lo itzar klal. Rabbi Shmuel saver basa nechira lo ishtari klal. The Rambam paskens like Rabbi Akiva. Is it true, according to Rabbi Akiva, that basa taiva lo itzar klal? Well, that's our problem. It seems like it's not true because the Rambam says that if you do Shechita, you have to bring it as a korban. However, if we pay very close attention to the language and to the concept, we'll see that the Rambam never veered from that line of the Gemara. What I mean by that is as follows. For Rabbi Shmuel felt that there was no Heter Basa Taiva in the Midbar. And that's the reason why Shechita could only take place for korbanos. Because you're not allowed to eat Basa Taiva in the Midbar. The Gemara thought this to such an extent that they asked the question, how can you even eat Tzviva Ayol? That's Basa Taiva, and that's the Midbar. Right? And it gave the answer that it gave. But according to Rabbi Akiva, even if Shechita in the Midbar is limited to Shlamim, like the Rambam says it is, it's not because Basa Taiva is prohibited. The Haraya, Al-Yedei Nechira, you can't eat Basa Taiva. So according to the Rambam understands that Rabbi Akiva doesn't say that Shechita can be done for anything. Rabbi Akiva only says the Mechayiv, the reason that you cannot Shecht Basa Taiva from Midbar is not because Basa Taiva is prohibited. It's because Shechita in the Midbar was viewed as having a Kudshim status. Rabbi Shmuel thought that you can't eat Basa Taiva in the Midbar because Basa Taiva is unacceptable. Anything but Kudshim is not a proper food. Basa Taiva, Asura. But Rabbi Akiva felt it's not that Basa Taiva is anything wrong with Basa. You can eat as much Basa Taiva as you want. But the second that you act B'derech Shechita, what happens? You invoke Kudshim. That turns it into Shlomim. In fact, what is the pasuk that the Rambam quotes here? Rambam says, why can't you eat, why can't you do shechita for Basar Taiv on the Midbar? Because Ish Ish Mi Beis Yisrael Asher Yishchat Shor El Pesach Ol Moed Lo Yibiyo Laman Asher Yabiyo. What is that? Shchutei Chutz. That is a psukim in Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin, where the Torah says, if you have a korban, you cannot bring that korban anywhere but the Beis Hamikdash and Shecht it. To do so is chilul kedushas hakorban, or it's to lose the opportunity, since this is a korban, right, to fulfill the mitzvah of kachim with it. Essentially, Rashi also quotes this pasuk from Yishmael. Tosa says, but Basar Taiva wasn't kachim. How come they're quoting this pasuk? How come the Rambam is quoting this pasuk? We're talking about Basar Taiva. But if you look at the language of the Gemara, the language of the Rambam, what emerges? According to the Rambam, it's true when the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Kiva, Basar Taiva me'olam lo nasar. But instead, what happened? The idea was that the act of Shechita in the Midbar was associated with Kachim. So it turned every Chulin into a Kachim, and if you're going to go ahead and do something improper with it, it's going to be Shechitechutz, exactly the pasuk that the Rambam quotes. When they entered into Eretz Yisrael, what happened? They said, you know what? Shechita is still associated with Kachim. However, it's now going to also be the Matir of Chulin. Now, is that just remote history? Or does that reflect something about the very nature of mitzvah Shechita? Well, I'm obviously biased. I'm trying to very hard to convince you that it's the latter and not the former. So that's why the Rambam ends Hilchos Shechita with this little piece of history. And that's why in the very last words of Hilchos Shechita, I don't mean really Hilchos Shechita, I mean Hilchos Shechita that deals with Shechita, he says, V'zuhi ha-mitzvah ha-norheges l'doros rishkot v'yachakach yochal. This is exactly the quote-unquote mitzvah that I quoted in Perek Aleph Halakha Aleph and in the Koteret and in Sefer HaMitzvos, Kuf Mem Vav. Now you understand its history and now you understand better its true nature. And now we understand Lefikach, therefore you make a bracha. Because this isn't just Siluk Nevela, this is Kiyum Shechita, like it was in the Midbar when it was Kachim. Yeah.
In Rambam, the first
that's before. Yeah. You have a good eye, first of all. You picked out a good, an interesting line.
Probably is the goyim also on Eimam Nachari.
Right. So I think you're absolutely right. A lot of people had trouble with this line. But I think if you notice carefully, it says Lotus Stabu Bishita Schulin Okan O Shokta the Okan Kishara Umos. And then it says Vinit Stabu the Midbar Shakola Rotsa. The first Lotus Stabu means prior to Matan Torah. The second Istabu is the Matan Torah. But I think you're still right in that this is a very important line. And what the Rambam, I think, is trying to tell us is, prior to Matan Torah, Shechita wasn't a matter of Tzivui at all. It was just a matter of making sure that there's no Eber Menachai. Anything less than Eber Menachai, fine. The Tzivui introduced that for Klal Yisrael, we're going to have different standards. But it can't be Kishar Umos. In fact, there are people who interpret based on Kishar Umos that Nechira isn't really Shechita Sasimanim either. It means even the Derech Nevela, as long as it's not Eber Menachai, for exactly the reason that you mentioned. But either way, this is a line, I think, that refers to Kodem Matan Torah, and the second Vinit Stava is that's the break to Matan Torah itself.
It's interesting that in Perdel and Lachim and Fest, the Sukkim quotes are both Rabbi Shmuel
and Rabbi Akiva. Because in a way, the Rambam did merge. I mean, whatever you say, the Rambam's reading of the Gemara is completely atypical. But I'm trying to point out that if you go back and you read the words, it actually fits in. But when you first read it, the Gemara and the Rambam, it seems, and all the notes that Caleb asked this, who's the Rambam paskening like? Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva? It can't be both. Tosis already asked. If you look on the side here, on Yud Zayin Ibn Aleph, Tosis says, Rabbi Akiva, Sama Basa Taiva Lo Yitzhar Klau, Tema, Minaleha, Duma Mara Marchadov, Umara Marchadov, Lo Pligi. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva don't argue, they just said two different things, which is what the Rambam says, essentially. But Tosis answers and says, no, it can't be. Yishlomar, I Rabbi Akiva, Mitzar, Basa Taiva, Im Kain, Hechi Hutra Basar Nechira. Because Tosis is going with the view, they're not accepting the subtle point that I'm making, which is, Basar Taiva doesn't have to be Asur, but Shchita Le Basar Taiva is Asur, because it violates the accomplishment of Shchita's Kodshim. So Tosis says, well, they're mutually exclusive. The Rambam felt they were not mutually exclusive, but it's a very mechudash, a very subtle and a very sophisticated and almost, I would say, adventurous way to read this Gemara. Okay, but the Rambam did this, and this is the derech of the Rambam. The Rambam didn't just take, you know, a Gemara or a line. The Rambam approached halachic topics in terms of the totality of the evidence, where he saw all the sugyas together, and sometimes that, you know, that inspired him to re-look at the Gemaras and to see them in a slightly different way. This is an excellent example of the consistency of the Rambam, the structural integrity, you could say, of the Rambam. I don't mean in an engineering way, but in a, I guess, architectonic way, and the inside of the Rambam. Okay, well, let's get back to the bracha just for another few minutes. Having said this, it becomes clear that according to the Rambam, what we're dealing with is a classic Birkas HaMitzvah. The Rambam felt that the role of the bracha in accentuating this Davar Shebekdusha aspect is so central that he added something, I think I mentioned this last week, that he doesn't usually say, and that is being lo birech, halacha beis again, perek aleph halacha beis, in lo birech, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, habasar mutar. Rarely does the Rambam ever tell you that which is generally accepted and doesn't need to be said, which is that a bracha is not ma'akev. We know brachas are not ma'akev. Why would we think that this particular bracha is ma'akev? Maybe because this bracha accentuates the kiyum of shchita and where it comes from. This idea would also explain why, according to the Rambam, the bracha has to be in advance. The Rambam looks brachos perikin aleph says, if you do the bracha afterwards, I mean, if you do the shchita without a bracha, you can't recapture the bracha. That's the Rambam's general view of Birchas HaMitzvah. The Orzarua disagrees. The Orzarua, that Gaos HaShri here quotes it, says in general, whenever you do a Birchas HaMitzvah, if you miss doing it in advance, you can always do it afterwards. That's a general debate. It's fascinating, though, that the Shulchan Aruch, Yoredei, Siman Aleph, which normally agrees with the Rambam, that whenever you do a bracha, it has to be in advance. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Here, the Yoredei seems to side with the Orzarua, at least in a certain case. If you're shechting an animal and you have a suffek, whether it's a treifa, so it's a suffek bracha lebatala. So the Yoredei tells us, Shulchan Aruch says, first shech the animal, then make the bracha. The Shach is very upset about it. Shach says, well, we hold like a Rambam. Rambam says you can never make a difference except for one exception. That's ger shenis gayer. Because it's structured in that the ger can't, he doesn't have kedushas yisrael before the tzvila. So that's the Gemara says in Psachim, there the bracha is supposed to come afterwards. But otherwise, the Rambam's view is, no exception. So how come all of a sudden here there's an exception? But it might very well be that the Shulchan Aruch has a different view about this bracha. Like I mentioned this last week. The Rambam's view is that this is a Birchas HaMitzvah, and therefore, as we explained it. This is also the view of the Rush, although the Rush also helps us in one other point. If you look at the Rush, this is a Rush in Ksuvis. Page 2. The Rush says, the background is the Rush explains as follows. The Rush's view is that Kiddushin requires a bracha, but it's a birchas shevach v'hoda. It's not a birchas ha-mitzvah, because the Rush says there really is no mitzvah of kiddushin, it's a mitzvah of peri v'rivya. Instead, it's a bracha in which we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the institution of Kedusha of Ishus. And that's why it's such a long bracha. Anybody who's been to a wedding knows it's a very, very long bracha, right? Tzivanu al arayos, right? Asalanu es arusa, the tzivanu al arayos, the asalanu es arusas, the itilanu es anesuas, lanu hayidei chupa v'kiddushin. A very long bracha. The Rosh says, if it was a berachas hamitzvah, it would have been asher kiddushin of the tosef tzivanu al kiddushin. Anyways, however, he says shechita is a berachas hamitzvah. But why do we have a berachas hamitzvah on shechita? After all, isn't shechita just a matir? So the Rosh says as follows. You see the second paragraph? The Hilchach, page 2. Lo nitkin abracha b'mitzvah zu, referring to Kedushin. After no se'isha l'shem piri v'rivya. Kivin de'efshe l'kayim mitzvah piri v'rivya below Kedushin. Below dami l'shechita. It's not like shechita. She'ena mechuyav l'shechot v'lechol. It's true, you're not obligated to shecht and to eat. Rafilu hachi, however, kishu shochet lechol mevarech. But when he does it, he still makes a bracha. Why not say the same in Kedushin? You don't have to get married, but when you do, you should make a bracha. The chasam ef shelo lechol below shechita. Number one, shechita is indispensable. Number two, abalhacha rather ef shelo kain piri v'rivya below Kedushin. That's one. Two, gam chasam apke kra below shon tzivui. Tchsiv is avachta v'yachalta. Abalhacha tchsiv ki yikachish. If you look at the psukim, the Torah emphasizes the tzivui, and when it comes to shechita, it doesn't emphasize a tzivui, an ishus, it's ki, which he interprets to mean when, or if. The ode, and this is the third one that I like, the bekotshim iyat shar below shechita, vilkach mevarchin al kol shechita. This gets us back to Rabbi Yosef ibn Palat. Because shechita gets a bracha, because there it's a mitzvah, that means that shechita's kulin is also mitzvah. Shechitas kadshim lechud, shechitas chulin lechud. They're two different things. But we try to explain, based on the history of Amidbar, based on the psukim and everything else, that the two overlap considerably. In any case, it's clear, according to the Rush, that birchas shechita is a birchas hamitzvah. However, the Taz suggested for the Rambam and for the Rush that they believe that birchas shechita is not a birchas hamitzvah, but it is in fact a birchas shabach v'hodah. I don't think it's tenable to explain that in the Rambam and the Rush, but I think it is a very interesting shita of the Taz, which may explain the Shulchan Aruch. And I'll explain what the problem was. This is what we were rushing to explain in the very end, last time. It goes as follows. In normal brachos, we have a rule of shomea ka'oneh, meaning if two people are involved in the same mitzvah, one can make the bracha for the other. Right? For example, it's tkiyah shofar. If I'm blowing shofar, you want to hear the shomea ka'oneh on the tkiyah, or maybe it's only a mitzvah shmiya, but there's certainly shomea ka'oneh on the bracha. Every individual doesn't have to say l'shmoa kol shofar. The bal tkiyah can say it for everybody. That's called shomea ka'oneh. Moreover, even if the bal tkiyah already fulfilled his mitzvah, he could still say the bracha based on the rule of yatza motzi. Does shomea ka'oneh and yatza motzi work for shechita, for bircha shechita, or not? So the Tosefta, if you look in the back here, I have it actually either on the pages or in the back. Okay, we'll just do it in the pages, it's easier. If you look at the Rush in Chulin, he says, here, Siman Gimel, page 2. Chayr shedibru chachonim b'chamakom shen shomei v'inu medav. Kosov Aramba. Mumcha shenishtatek. You have an expert shochet, but he cannot speak, which means he can't make a bracha. V'hu mevin v'shomea, but he can understand and he can hear. Shochet l'chatchila. The Rambam paskins and the Rosh agrees, he can do shechita l'chatchila. Where's the bracha going to come from? Somebody else? Only somebody who also is doing shechita? Or even some other party who just happens to be there based on yatza motzi? The simple reading of the Rambam and the Rush is that yatza motzi and certainly shomea ka'oneh apply to bircha shechita. Right? Okay. Now, If you look at the Hagos HaShri, the next piece, see it says Hagos HaShri? Uba'arza ruach kasav, ha'ilein v'ha'arum, lo yishchitu l'chadchila. The Arza ruach says, no, l'chadchila, you are not allowed to, an ilein, a person who is not able to speak, is not allowed to do shchita. Mipnei she'en nechalim levarech. Because what do you do about the bracha? But he can hear. What happened to Shomei Ka'ona if the other guy is shechting? And what happened to Yatsamotzi? So the Agos HaShri explains, Kine Tzman Beferah Kamen to Truma. Similar problem in Afrashas Truma. Chamisha Lo Yitrom, Uvim Tarmud Truma Son Truma, Ha'ilem V'Ha'arum, Mefarish B'Yerushalmi, Ilem V'Arum, Mishim Bracha, a person who cannot speak or who is not properly clothed, who cannot make the bracha, L'Chatchila, should not be Mefarish Truma Son Maitras. Because we don't want to split up the bracha and the mitzvah. The Einachad Omid Al Gabo, Yochel Levarich, Al Ashchita. Aval Shnaim, Sheshochtin, Echad Levarich Al Shnaim. Kivitani B'Tosefta, the Brachos, Asarish, Shayu Osin, Eser Mitzvos, Echad Levarich Lekula. Niu, says the Hagos HaShri, Eni Odeim Hu Adin Ilein, Eim Yotzin Bracha, Echad Kishishnaim Shochtin, Hovein Ilam Atzma Yochel Levarich. What's he saying? Two things. Number one, he says, Yatza Motzi does not apply in Shechita. It doesn't apply. Number two, I'm not sure, says the Hagos HaShri, if Shomei Ka'ona applies either, because maybe Shomei Ka'ona only applies when you have two able-bodied people who can do the mitzvah, and one does it and the other hears. But if he doesn't have the potential to do it himself, maybe you don't fulfill Shomei Ka'ona. That's a big question in Shomei Ka'ona generally. So basically, Hagos HaShri is telling us, or Zeru is telling us, no Yatsamotzi for Shechita against the Rambam, and maybe not even Shomei Ka'ona. Why? So the Taz explains as follows. Taz says, Hagos HaShri, or Zeruah, they're really right, when you think about it. Because, let's say you have Birchas HaNeni. Let's say you're eating a meal. Right? Drinking, eating. Can I make a bracha on your behalf? We can do it for hamotzi, we can do it for kiddush, because they're mitzvos. But birchas hanen, a regular food. Why? Because it's only rishus, there's no chiyuv. And therefore everybody should make their own bracha. It's only in the context of mitzvos and chiyuvim that one can make a bracha for the other. Now the way the Taz understands it, it's a little more extreme even. He says, after all, what are you going to do? Each person has to do the mitzvah, but not everybody can make the bracha. So the only way to get a bracha is to hijack, or not hijack, to borrow the other fellow's bracha as well. That's a b'di'eved, but you have no choice, because you have a chiyuv, you're not capable of making the bracha, so you have to attach yourself to him. But any rishus, which you don't have to do, let the person who's going to make the bracha do it, so you can fuse the bracha and the mitzvah. Now, is shechita chiyuv or rishus? Rishus is the Taz argument. And therefore, he says, the Hagos HaShri, or Zeruah, 100% correct. The rule of Yatsamotzi should not apply. Maybe even Shomei Ka'ona would apply, since he's not a Bar Hachi. But let's leave that out for the moment. So that's why he says, the logic of the Zeruah is correct. So then the Taz says, but if that's true, what do we do for the Rambam and the Rosh? We made such a good case, such good explanation for the Zeruah, that we have now created problems for the Rambam and the Rosh. Shechita's not mechuyav, so what's the problem? So the Taz says, because in my opinion, the Rambam and the Rosh hold that Shechita, Birchas Shechita is not a Birchas HaNeva. It's a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. If it's Shevach V'Hodah, does it have to be integrated by one person? The Osa Mitzvah? No, it just has to be B'Shas HaMitzvah. Like any other Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, it doesn't have to be done by the person who's involved in the Mitzvah. Therefore, the Taz says, in my opinion, Birchas Shechita is a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. I'll just read you the line inside very quickly. It's a very good question. He doesn't say. I suspect that one could be, even he would agree that one could be mechalik, that one should be mechalik.
And And would the Matea HaBrocha there be something like Lishpot Behemoth Kachim?
Probably. Well, the truth is that even the Gemara in Pesachim, which says that you need a bracha, if you recall, if you just look very quickly, actually, the Gemara in Pesachim on Zayin Amud Beis, page 2, Gemara says, Baruch Asher Kitshonu Tosef Tzivan Meisei, Baruch Asher Kitshonu Tosef Tzivanu Ala Shechita. Right? Page 2. The Gemara says, why Ala Shechita? Why not Lishkot? The Gemara says, Hasanami Heke Neima, Neima Lishkot. Lo Sagid Lav Yu Shachet. It has to be him doing the Shechita. So then the Gemara says, Pesach L'Kadshim, Michael L'Meimar. What are you going to say about Pesach and Kadshim? There it is, a mitzvah to do it. So the Gemara says, Rachanami. The Nusach HaBracha, the Matbeah Shabracha, would be different. That's exactly your question. Now look at the Taz for 1 minute. The very famous Taz. I'm not going to read through the whole part in the beginning, because that's pretty much what I summarized, and I don't want to take so much time. I want to come on to other things. But if you look here, look towards the middle of the piece. Page 3.
Under the Shach.
Under the Shach. The way the Shach does it is very fascinating too. Let's start up at Shulchan Aruch for a second. Shulchan Aruch's Paskins on page 3. Shulchan Aruch Yoridea Simon Aleph Simon Sif Zayin. Hashomea Ve'enu Medaber. The person who can't speak, but he can hear. Imu Lo Mumcha. I'm sorry, it should be Imu Mumcha. The Lamed Lamed Aleph are the Shach's numbers, just a circle here. Imhu mumcha, it's misleading, right? Shochet afilu lechatchila. Then you have to skip, that's lamed beis. Im acher mebarech. Meaning, how does he paskin the Yordea? Shulchan Aruch? Like the Rosh and the Rambam. Then lechatchila, you can shochet. The Shach is fascinating. The Shach, like the Orzarua, what's he going to do with the Yordea, with the Shulchan Aruch? He reread it. What do you mean he reread it? He assumed it wasn't talking about a case of Yotza Motzi. How could it be? It's a case of Shomea Kohne. Look at the Shach for a second. The Dafka Sha'acher Shochet Gamkein. That's only if the other guy also happens to be doing Shechita. It doesn't say that in Yoredeya. The real simple reading of Yoredeya is that it's based on the Rosh and the Rambam. In fact, the Beis Yosef, which is the Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of Shulchan Aruch, says in his commentary on the tour that it's possibly like the Rambam and the Rosh. But the Shach, in this case, literally reread it. He didn't think that was the proper maskana. So he says, obviously, only in a case where the other guy is shechting anyway. So it's not Yotze Motzi, it's Shomea Kohne. Halav Hachi, Ein Yochel Levarech. Hagos Hashri. Umevio Beis Yosef, the Darkei Moshe. But the truth is, if you look at the Beis Yosef, he brings it, but he rejects it. V'chein Mashra B'shchitas Marivayl, V'chein Pir Shabbach. Sharachronim v'chei mashma halacha imachem b'varich v'lo kamar v'acher b'varich. His deal for the Shulchan Aruch is it doesn't say it says imachem b'varich. It doesn't say v'acher b'varich. Sounds like if somebody happens to be making the bracha because they themselves are doing their own shechita. Mashma sha'acher b'lavachi, etc. The Taz disagrees. He goes to the analysis I just mentioned. Skip down to. Ula Harosh Nira. You have it? It's almost in the middle. It's 3, 6, 9, 12. I think it's 12 lines down from the beginning of the Taz. Everybody have that? This is like, you know, how the Shulchan Aruch works. Ula Harosh Nira. Everybody have that? I mean, what do we say? We just made such a good argument to explain the other Shita that it's a Rashus, and therefore we don't split up the Bracha and the action. What are you going to do with the Rush? Well, Rush Nira, the Gam Husvi related to Ilam Lo Yitrom, Va'acham Mevarech Mitam Shezacharti. All things being equal, he would have agreed with this idea that you shouldn't split up the bracha and the mitzvah. After all, let the guy who's making the bracha let him do the action. It's not a chiyuv anyway. Ella, the Beshchita Nira Tamo, the Acher Mevarech Shapir, the Birchas Shchita Ena Ba Ala Shchita Atzma. He must hold that the Birchas HaShchita is not a bracha on the mitzvah. So ein chi of the Shchita emein arotz alecha. El ikar kavana lases shevach. That's a very beautiful formulation. Lamokom baruchu. It's a way of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al she'asa lanu achilas basar v'lo shchita. Why are we praising him? for making life harder, and the prices, you know, are three times as much? The answer is because he turned it into a davar shebeknusha. He associates the requirements of kadshim with basar taiva. Ubezev vaday kol Yisrael shayich v'osa bracha. Sharei al kulam yesh iser. Elashem makom levarach shevach zeh l'bishah shechita. We don't walk around all day saying, you know, thank God for shechita, right? We say it in context. We can rhapsodize when we actually encounter it. Right? El b'shas shchita shum behema dugma v'davar shazachar beis yosef for the guard lachnisa b'brisa shel Avram Avinu. That too. It's a bracha on the fact that we have such a mitzvah and what it implies. That's the Taz's explanation. The problem is it doesn't work well. It works very well with the Shulchan Aruch. Now we can understand. Then the Shulchan Aruch said that when it comes to shchita you can make the bracha after b'di'evet. You can always make a bracha shevach v'hodah after. Because of the some people think it's even better. Because number one, the rule of overlas yasam is birchas hamitzvah. Number two, as that's how the Rosh explains, according to his own view, that birchas kiddushin is after because he thinks it's a birchas shavah. It's in the afterglow of experiencing this phenomenon, this halachic phenomenon, kiddushin for the Rosh, shechita for the Taz. Ah, we just went through it. It brings home how lucky we are. Shavach v'hodah. Afterwards, at least the b'di'evet. This also could explain several other issues which I'm not going to go into. I'm just going to tell you some of them are the shidya, but we're not going to discuss them now. It'll take too long. There are many issues regarding birchas hashchita. I'll just give you one as an example. Tosafot in Chulin later on in Teivav Amud Aleph, and then it's a big discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. The following question: you're shechting many animals, a shochet, you know, a real professional shochet. So he's shechting many animals, and he's sach, right? Bein behema le behema. If he talks before the after the shechita, before the first behema, he has to repeat the bracha. But let's say he says the bracha, does the first shechita, and then behema number two or three or 1,000, he's mafsik in between. Does he have to make another bracha or not? We have a similar question with regard to tefillin. Are you putting on the Shoyan and the Shoron? I heard a very nice bar mitzvah drasha on the topic recently. Right? If you have a Shoyan and Shorosh, according to the Rishonim who think that you make the bracha laniach tefillin on both. Right? But if you're mafsik, between one and the other, you have to make a separate bracha. That's one model. What about in Birchas Hananin? You're eating a meal. And you make a bracha on the chicken. Okay, and then they bring later on more chicken, right? But you were soch, you were talking to your neighbor, to your child, to whatever it is. You were talking all the time. After, of course, you ate the first morsel after the bracha. There, it's clear that you don't make a second bracha. Do we compare shechitas behema to birchas hananin to birchas hamitzvah? Of course, tefillin may not be a routine birchas hamitzvah either. It depends whether we're trying to integrate the shalyan and the shalrosh, and therefore any hefsek, where what we would call very hefsek sensitive, right? Or it's exactly the opposite. We want one bracha to cover both, but as two separate entities, dafka, because of the different themes of the shalyan and the shalrosh. So what I'm saying is you have to, I'm not going to go into detail, but this is a whole discussion of the Rishonim and the Achronim, but really a lot of it depends on how you understand Birchas Shechita, whether it is a routine Birchas HaMitzvah, whether it is a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, whether it relates to the Kiyum HaMitzvah, to the Chiyuv HaMitzvah, etc. Yeah.
When the Shechit reports to the Shachit that he makes this bracha and he's beginning his work.
Yeah.
And then in the course of the day, whatever, I'm not defining what the Hesed is right now, but right. How is that different than in the morning when we're making Birchas HaTorah? And in a sense, we have in mind that covers right. The learning we're doing, even though we're going to have a hesed here and there. Why wouldn't it?
I think there are two things. Number one is there actually is a machlokas rishonim whether that's so or not. That is the general view is that we only say one birchas hatorah in the morning, but there are rishonim who argue. The rishonim themselves ask this question. So some of them take the view that birchas hatorah is not really a birchas hamitzvah either. It also is a kind of Berni Ramban in its Sefer Mitzvos, commenting on the pasuk Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu, actually says Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah in its own right, and it's a mitzvah of Shevach Lahotah. But the other possibility is the other two possibilities are Rabbeinu Tam and the Rush, I think, which are connected. Rabbeinu Tam says the reason you can make one bracha in the morning, even though you're going to be mafsik during the day, is because of the chiyuv to learn all day. You may not be able to implement that chiyuv, but that chiyuv is a mitzaret that links you all day to this mitzvah. That, of course, we don't have in Shkita, because there's certainly no mitzvah to do Shkita at all, and certainly not all day. The Rosh has a very famous formulation about Talmud Torah, about Birchas HaTorah, where he says, well, the fact is, undoubtedly, since a very optimistic notion, since Talmud Torah is so central to your life, you may be in business and doing whatever you're doing, but unquestionably it's in the back of your mind. So the Maisa, there's no Hesed. And that's a wonderful idea. Some people have suggested that, you know, it isn't just an optimistic and idealistic idea, but maybe the idea, some people have suggested, the Nusach HaBracha that we make in Torah, just lots of the Divrei Torah, means if you're doing things that are consistent with your learning, and, you know, you're being honest on the job, and so on and so forth, that's lots of Divrei Torah. That's a topic in its own. But it's a good question that highlights some of the differences. I just want to make one other point quickly about the Rosh and the Rambam, and then we'll start the beginning. It's not like Birchas Erison.
Right.
Yeah. I think the Taz is fascinating. It's certainly not true for the Rambam and the Rosh anyway, because they make it. We spent time in the Rambam, it's clear it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. He says so in Perek Yidal Pechas Brachos. He says so in Nechel Shvita. The Rosh said so in Ksuvas. I think there's another answer to the question. How come, I mean, the Taz had a strong point. There should be no Yatzah Motzi. After all, there's no Chiyuv HaMitzvah. I think the answer may be, what is Mitzar? The Rosh understood it in very practical terms. We never want to separate a Brach on a Mitzvah. We sometimes have to, but we have no choice because it's a Chiyuv. You have to do it and you have to hear the Bracha. I think that one can understand Yatzah Motzi and Birchas HaMitzvah as opposed to Birchas HaNenin, where we don't say that, in a different way. And that is, in Birchas HaMitzvah, the reason we say Yatzah Motzi is because everybody's in the same boat. Everybody's Mitzurah. Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh. The Chiyuv is Mitzaret. And therefore, my Bracha is your Bracha, and so on. And the very nice idea of the Ritva, which is, you know, Yatzah Motzi, because if my neighbor hasn't fulfilled his Mitzvah, then mine isn't complete either. We're all Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh. Birchas HaNenin is highly individualistic. It's Hadas Aguf, it's a Rishus. There's no Mitzaret. My food, your food, there might be a Tziruf for Zimun, but there's no Tziruf in the Achiyuv. What about a Kiyum HaMitzvah? Where there's no Chiyuv, but there's a Kiyum? That's not Birchas HaNenin, albeit it's not Birchas HaMitzvah either. But especially if we interpret this Kiyum HaMitzvah the way I was trying to, which is it has to do with the Dabar Shebikdusha, let's say, of Shechita, and the fact that we use this method, so then in a way, there is a Tziruv through the Kiyum. And I think that of all the Rishonim who believe that to be true, the ones who certainly believe it the most are the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam, we just spent so much time, all the four halachos of Perek Aleph, the last two halachos of Perek Dalet, Sefer Mitzvos, and the Rosh, who said in Ksuvas, we make this bracha because in Kachim we make a bracha. So I think we can understand why, even according to that, even though it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, you will say Yatzah Motzi, even though it's not. Okay, now let's move on to the beginning. Let's start now straight from the beginning. So maybe the Ramah is only in the case where it's suffering. The Ramah doesn't say that if you forget, then you make the bracha afterwards. He says in a case where you have suffix trefa, so then you make a brach afterwards. I think it's possible to say that for him, the tziruf then can only come after the fact because of the suffix bracha levatala. Now, if you could have brought it in earlier, you should have, and maybe it would have been mocking. Since you know there's a suffix bracha levatala, so then in that case, maybe there is tziruf to the actual mitzvah even after the fact. I think there are two issues in the issue of birchas HaMitzvah after the fact. One is, what kind of bracha is it? Maybe if it's a matir, you can't do it after the fact. The other is that once the mitzvah is over, there's no mitzari. If it's the second reason, then I think we're okay with the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, now we're going straight. Now that we've done our hakdama, and hopefully it'll sensitize us to other things, and now we're going to see a whole bunch of other issues as well. So let's just start at least with the Mishnah. Hakol shochtim v'shchitasan k'sheira, kutz mekeres shochtim v'katan, shema yikalkalu eshchitasan. So we're told that everybody can shecht, and the shchita will be kosher, with the exception of cheres shochtim v'katan, right, whose shchita is not accepted, shema yikalkalu, we're afraid that they will botch the shchita. The kulan sheyishkutu b'acher ro'nosan shchitasan k'sheira. Anybody who does shchita that is viewed by a gadol, by somebody responsible, the shchita is k'sheira. Not to see if there are exceptions to this rule or not. We can immediately already just point to the first question of the Gemara, and then we'll get back to some of the issues of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says hakol shochtin lechatchila. The words hakol shochtin imply lechatchila. Anybody can do it, and there's no problem. We embrace their participation. Shitas and Ksheira, on the other hand, the Eved. So which is it? Hakol Shoftim Shitas and Ksheira, Lechatchila, or the Eved? So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Acha Berei Derevel Rav Ashi, the Kol Hakol Lechatchila Hu. Every Hakol is a Lechatchila. Elamiata, if that's the case, when the Gemara's Mishnah says in the beginning of Temura, we'll discuss this, Hakol Nemirin, everybody who does tamura means you have a carbon, and you set it aside, and now you want to exchange the carbon for another animal. So you want to release this carbon, right, and you want to exchange it for another animal. So the halacha is echad anashim, echad nashim, whether it's a man or a woman, right? Hakol nemirim, the rules of tamura apply. The rules of tamura are that if you try to do this, the animal that you try to release remains kodesh, the animal that you wanted to exchange it with becomes kodesh. Doesn't matter who does it. So, achanami l'chatchila hu. Are you going to say, because it's hakol, that that's l'chatchila? V'aksiv, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiro soto b'rao rabitov. You're not allowed to. You violate two lavin, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiro. The Gemara says, hasan k'nikatani time. Lo sha'adam rashoy lahamir, elishim hamer mumar v'sofa g'sarbayim. There, the language is to teach you the continuation, which is that your effort is ineffective, and not only that, you get punished with malchus. Okay, then the Gemara says, and there are other cases of hakol, el hakol marichin ben arachin, nodrim ben idarim, machanami del chatchila. Well, you get the idea. The Gemara is saying, what's going on here? Is this hakol lechatchila or not? Okay, let's hold off on the Gemara for a moment and get back to the Mishnah. So the first thing we encounter in the Mishnah, with this seeming dialectic, is it l'chatchila, is it b'diavad, is chutz mi'cheres shota v'katan. Cheres shota v'katan, if they shecht alone, the Mishnah tells us shchitasan is psula. Shemi kalkalu. But we're also told that kulan sheshachtu v'acher rono son, shchitasan k'shera. That if they go ahead and they do the shchita, it'll be a good shchita. And the Gemara says later on, we'll get to it, that this includes cheres shota v'katan. If they shecht in the presence of a gadol, then the shechita is k'sheira. Now, is that l'chatchila or b'diavad? What's the story with katan? So it seems to the Mishnah like if a katan shechts alone, it's no good. It's disqualified. If he shechts in the presence of others, the simple reading of the Mishnah is it's good b'diavad, but not l'chatchila. However, the matter is not so simple. Number one, if you look at Tosfos here, Tosfos says, Shema Yikalkalu, second Tosfos, the Gemara Diek Midiktani Shema Yikalkalu, the Loktani Shema Kilkalu, this is a Gemara later on, not good base, says the Talmud says Shema Yikalkalu, future. It should have said Shema Kilkalu, maybe they made a mistake. Shema Amina says the Gemara, Ein Moser Lehem Chulin L'Chatchila. But L'Chatchila, you can't give them Chulin to Shecht. Pirsha Kuntris, Rashi explains, Afilo Acher Ro'nosan. Even if that's going to be supervised by a gadol, you still can't give the katan to do the shechita l'chatchila. The kasha l'perusha. How could that be? From the Sefer Shamina, we already see that from our Mishnah, which says, V'kulin sheshachtu, V'acher Ro'nosan, V'mashma di'eved, Dafka. The Mishnah sounds like it says Diavad. Why do you need to be the Dayak for the words Shema Kilkalu Layamar, like Shema Yakalkalu? Right? The Lekala Meimar to Diavad Nakat Mishum Tameh B'Muktashim O Ein Mumchen. Maybe the language of the Diavad, even if it's being witnessed or supervised by someone else, and it's only the Diavad, maybe that's in some of the other cases. For example, a Tameh or a non mumcha of a chayr shatav bekatan. It sounds in the Mishnah. Maybe you could say the Mishnah says afil lechatchila shochtin b'chayr rono son, and then the Gemara tells you later on it's not so. He says that can't be. The harava who the diak shema kilkalo like tani, or the harava lo kari the kulin shoshachtu ela chayr shatav bekatan. Kidamino the Gemara will explain later on that the words the kulin shoshachtu b'chayr rono son according to Rava apply only to Chayrus Shotavakot. So we know already from the Mishnah that it's only the Diavad. The Yesh Rafarshim, the Gars the Kaman Rabba, Avo Rabba Lo Diek. Maybe a way to get out of the problem is we're dealing with two different people. There's Rabba and there's Rabba. They said two different things. But Rabba Lo Diek Be Nikalkalu Lekilkalu. Ki Hechad Lo Chayish Behad Lo Katani Yim Shachatim. Either way, Rabbeinu Tam is a different parish. Rabbeinu Tam the Farish, when the Gemara says later on, Ein Mosrim Lehem Chulin Lechatchila, that you can't hand over a Chulin to a Katan, what it means is, Lishchot means Afilu Kedei Lahashlich Leklavim. Even practice. Let's say you want to let the Katan chef, either for the whim of it, or to practice, and he's going to throw the meat to the dogs. Meaning, it's not going to be given to Klal Yisrael. There's no Michshol. Nonetheless, Ein Mosrim Lekatan. Why? Dilma Asir Lemechal, Sheyitu lahakshe shchitasan b'tok sheyiru shemosan lahem. People will see that he's shachting. They'll think he's a proper shochet. They'll eat his meat, right? To the part of the kamon shchitasan mikisui dima asin lemer shchita mal yaseru. The nicha hashta the bein acher rono so askina bereisha. Okay, so basically you have a machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam with the words later on in the Gemara mean ein mosrim lekatan. Rashi says it means b'di'eved, only b'di'eved, not l'chatchila. Rabbeinu Tam says you can't even let him practice. This question, whether a katan is allowed l'chatchila or b'di'eved to shecht in the presence of others, from the Mishnah here and from Rashi later on, it seems only b'di'eved, is not so simple at all. And it touches again on a very important issue. What's the problem? The Mishnah of the Gemara actually in Sukkah. If you look on page, I'm going to finish in one more minute. Let's just get started with this, though. The Gemara said on page 6. On page 6. The Gemara Sukkah is talking about the principle of chinuch. Right? We train children. Right? The mitzvahs, we always do. So the Gemara says, katan eodea lishmaras tfilav. The katan can be, you know, careful in wearing tefillin, puts on tefillin. Katan is appropriate to be in the sukkah, goes in the sukkah. Katan yodeh l'naneas halulav, shakes the lulav. Are these l'chatchilas or b'di'evet? The mitzvah of chinuch, of course, the l'chatchila, right? So the same Gemara, the Gemara says, hayodeh alishchot, a child who knows how to do shchita, Ochlin mishchitaso. Amravuna, but who should God alone with Algabov? If it's supervised shchita, you can eat a shchita. Is that lechatchila or b'di'eved? So many of the Rishonim understand it's got to be lechatchila because the whole context of that Gemara in Sukkah is chinuch. But if that's the case, then how do we explain the Mishnah Chulin says b'di'eved, and the and maybe even the Gemara later on, and yet the Gemara in Sukkah says lechatchila?
What about the bracha?
You make a bracha. Katan makes a bracha when he does, when a katan takes a lula. Does he make a bracha? Right? For chino. What do you mean?
It's a chino of and he doesn't necessarily have the same when he's making a bracha.
Oh, you mean when it works for their achila?
For their achila.
It's an interesting question. That's an interesting question.
With the minister of chinuch, you're not matir for other people.
Right, but remember we're talking about the Birchas HaMitzvah, we're not talking about the Heter Shechita, if it's a Heter Shechita, is good.
It
would be like Shechita B'li Bracha. Right. But it's your point is well taken. There are two things to say here. Number one is, the language of the Gemara isn't Hayodeh Lishchot Nosim Lo Lishchot, which would be the equivalent of what we have Hayodeh Lishmar Tzvilav, Nosim Lo Tzvilin, Hayodeh Linanea, you know, Nosim Lo. Here, actually, the Gemara's language is Ochel Mishchitasa. That's number one. So maybe it isn't the regular din of Chinuch. Maybe it's just telling us B'diavad that it works. And it's only B'diavad. However, the Arishonim, like the Rosh, we'll get to this next time, the Rosh, the Ran, Rashi, they all understood this Gemara's Lachatzil. So they had to make other distinctions. Some of them made the distinction between Katan, Begil, Chinuch, and less. Our Mishnah is talking about a child who's younger than Chinuch age. Gemara and Sukkah is talking about Chinuch. There it's Lachatzilah. The Rabbi Kineger in Yoredeh goes a step further. Rabbi Kineger says, even though we say that Katan, who shechts begadol omid al gabba, we can eat from the shkita b'diavad, that's what the Mishnah says, and certainly the Gemara and Sukkah says it. Let's say he was really young. He was 5 years old. This is a chiddush from Rabbi Kineger. Doesn't say this in the Mishnah. He says, b'diavad, it wouldn't work. It would be like Maisa Kof Bialma. Shechita requires Koach Adam. A Maisa Kof, which really means the act of a monkey, but it means, in other words, not human, not human energy, is not, if you throw something and it's a perfect strike, that's Koach Adam. So the Rabbi Kineger says, a child younger than six, it's like a remote control. Isotope. I don't know if you have to go that far. But the point is, maybe the chiluk is between katan, under chinuch, and over. What I want to discuss next week, though, is the following issue. Are there any cases where a katan will be able to shecht, even without gadol omid al gabba? Let's say he's the best, most expert shechter around. And we know he's responsible, he knows hilchos shechita, he's a whiz kid. Is it possible that we'll let him shecht even without gadol omid al gabba once he proves himself? That's one extreme. And the other extreme, is it possible that a shochet, because he's not a bar mitzvah, and he has no mitzvah shechita, maybe we should disqualify him completely? What will we do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is talking about gadol omid al gabba. How do we understand the role of the supervising gadol? So these are the two issues that are connected that we're going to discuss next week. We'll discuss Isha and Ktana, and Katan rather, next week. In this